episode number 192.5, interview with Pete from Petters.
Coming to you almost live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your hosts Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
Welcome back for, well, what is part five?
Part two. Part two. Point five
this week. Started off, kicked it out with John Fitzpatrick, and now we're going to bring on Pete from Petters.
Pete Bassica.
So it's been a while since we've actually done a two-part episode.
Yeah.
It's been a long while. So this is bonus material for all you dedicated podcast listeners.
Yeah, and as you know, we normally release this on Monday. In fact, if you didn't catch the interview with John Fitzpatrick, we had him in the studio. That was released on Monday.
Yep.
Earlier this week. And then this one, of course, being released on Wednesday.
Yeah.
If you're getting it as soon as it comes out.
So what we're going to do is we're going to get into some hardcore tech, because Pete loves to talk suspension.
Yeah, and Pete knows suspension.
And he knows his stuff.
Yeah, he got a hold of us and he said, listen, you know, I've just did some stuff over out at Milford and at the Proving Grounds, and maybe if your members and listeners have some questions, you could give them a chance to you know, present them, and I'll do my best to answer them. So that's what we did. We posted a thread in the 2010 Camaro News and Sightings Forum and said, hey, you know, Pete's got some info. If you got questions, he might have answers if he can talk about it. And he told us to give him a call. So, Chris, you want to
let's bring Pete on the line here.
All right, hold on. You're going to dial him up.
Yep.
All right, go right ahead.
Petters USA, Pete Bassica speaking. How may I help you?
Pete, Jason from CamaroZ28.com.
Hey, Pete, it's Chris here too.
Hey, Jason. Hello, Chris. How are you guys?
We're doing good. How are you? It sounds like you've been busy lately.
Yeah, what have you been working on?
Oh, man, we've been working on all kinds of things, and a lot of them of great interest to your listeners.
Well, that's kind of why we...
time over at the Milford Proving Grounds. We just fit a set of XA coilovers to the Camaro Black, and we'll be doing Dale Jr.'s car and the red car as well. So all those show Camaros will soon be petterized.
Nice.
All three of these SEMA show cars. That's great. And that's why we, you know, when you gave us the indication that you had some info for people, and we started the thread there in the 2010 Camaro News and Discussion Forum, that, you know, you might be able to settle some issues that people want to know, especially when it comes to Petters and the products they offer and how they interact and how they affect with the new 2010 Camaro. So we did what you asked. We threw it out there and said, hey, everybody, if you got a question for Pete, you know, bring it on. So do you want me to just kind of start firing out some of the questions that people want to know?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's answer their questions.
The first one, and this is one that's near and dear to my heart, is excessive on the board. One, his question is, my biggest question is how wide of a tire and wheel can this car take front and rear? And I'm dying to know this myself because I want to get a new set of wheels on it immediately. So this is going to satisfy a lot of my questions too. What's the answer to that, Pete?
Yeah.
The simple answer to that is I am 98% certain you'll be able to fit a 12 on the rear and a 10 on the front. And I think with real careful work with the offset, we may be able to go a bit wider, might even be able to get up to an 11 up front. The fenders do come rolled from the factory. There's just a hair that could be gained. I don't think more than 3 or 4 millimeters at the most with additional rolling. They've done a really nice job with that. But I would say without any reservation, you'll get a 12 in the rear and a 10 up in front. And that'd be in a 20.
I'm pretty stunned by that number. 12 inches wide in the rear, 10 inches wide in the front. I think that's going to open up a lot of opportunity for people who want to get a little crazy.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
So
you know what my goal is? I want 315s all the way around.
Yeah, you're big into the road racing thing there. In fact, you proved it not too long ago when you had the Petters Day, when you were pretty much trouncing everybody with your Petterized G8. That was very, very cool.
It did open some eyeballs, that's for sure.
And these numbers...
And there was a guy that exited that track so fast. I have never seen a Porsche GT3 pack up and get out of the pits so fast in my entire life. We weren't off the track, and he was already gone. All he had to do was clock one lap, and he was out of there.
With his tail between his legs.
Yeah, no kidding.
Big time.
Here's another question. 2010 SS Vert from the board says, his question is, will there be any negative impact on traction control, launch control, ABS, etc.? I want to say he's referencing your XA Extreme kit.
The answer to that is it will engage a little bit faster because you'll have a little bit more traction. So the reason it'll engage faster is when you hit your brakes, you're going to transfer a little bit more energy, for example, to the wheels than you would with the dive that you get in the stock vehicle. So you'll actually engage the ABS a bit earlier. Wheel spin, you'll feel like you actually have more horsepower because effectively you are going to transfer more energy from the tire to the road. So I wouldn't call it an adverse effect. It's actually a rather positive effect. It'll improve braking, and it'll improve your ETs at the strip.
Excellent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Good stuff right there, too. More good news from Pete here.
Yeah.
Chris, you want to read the next one?
Yes. This one comes from one of our longtime listeners, Mudbone.
Mudbone.
he wants to know...
I know Mudbone.
Yeah. How do Petter's components affect the handling and the ride of the car compared to stock? And don't just say it's better.
Well, it's better because, how's that? it's better because we remove compliance. All OE vehicles in this market are designed with a great deal of attention towards NVH, noise, vibration, and harshness. And as the engineers spend more and more time working on NVH to isolate the driver, they make the bushes voided. In other words, there's less rubber in them, and they make them softer. So as they continue to isolate the driver, they increase compliance. Now, an interesting example of this would be on the Camaro. The OEM engineers who do many, many things exceptionally well, and I mean that's the one thing I always want to be very careful about, particularly when we're talking about the Camaro, because they've done such a stellar job with the chassis. I never want anybody to walk away from comments that I made thinking that we don't respect the work of the engineers or are second-guessing the quality of the vehicle as it leaves the factory. It is by far and away the best car that Chevy has ever built. You know, I guess we have to put a caveat in there with the ZR1 and some of the special Corvettes they've done over the years. But in terms of a volume production vehicle, there has never been anything like the new Camaro. That said, when they went in to redesign the radius rod arm, they actually increased the diameter of the radius rod bush to handle, in their eyes, the additional braking front wheel and horsepower loads that would be in the Camaro as opposed to in the G8 or the Commodore. Increasing that size of that bush, which is a hydraulically damped, in other words, fluid-filled bush, in our eyes, simply made the problem of over-compliance worse. They think it made it better. We think it made it worse. So where they went with a larger bush with more compliance, we think that was the wrong thing to do. Now, that's a difference in philosophy. It's not a right or a wrong choice. It's just a different approach. Now, by the same token, when they were preparing the GS race car, the first thing they wanted replaced over at racing was that brand new, larger diameter, hydraulically damped radius rod bush. So we replace it with a urethane bush that has some voids in it and some shape given to it so that it isn't overly harsh. It doesn't feel like a race car in terms of harshness in the steering wheel, but it does take away the compliance. So how do we make it better? We take away a little compliance here, a little compliance there, and without having to make any single component overly hard, we dramatically reduce the total compliance in the chassis, and by doing that, improve the handling.
Wow.
That you
so,
said it.
Yeah. So it is better. And that is why.
You know what?
Mudbone's... Mudbone, it's just better. That's all it is. Try it. You'll love it.
Well, at the end of Mudbone's question, he said, tell me how and why, not that Pete will be short of words. And, well, you both nailed it. And he's got to be satisfied with that answer. In fact, Mudbone, I know you're listening. Call in and tell us if that answered your question or not, because I'm sure it did. We got a series of questions from member John H. Even though we asked one question per person, just for the sake of time, so we're gonna have to run through most of these. If he wants to know if larger brakes and tires are installed, will that drastically change how your suspension components react from your, he says, your original design? I'm thinking he might think the original factory design.
The biggest difference there is going to be rotating mass, unsprung weight. When people add aftermarket tires and wheels, the biggest mistake they make is they end up with tire and wheel combinations that are heavier than the OE. I have not yet had an opportunity to weigh a wheel off of a Camaro. Having said that, the guiding rule for any member that's listening to this should be to weigh the OE tire and wheel combination and make absolutely sure that no matter what they install on the car, it doesn't weigh any more than that OE tire and wheel combination. Preferably, it would weigh less. Now, somebody told me from a wheel alignment class or a wheel balancing class at Hunter, and I might have this formula wrong, but I believe they told me that a quarter ounce of wheel weight added to a wheel was equal to, in terms of rotating mass, I believe it was 6 pounds of weight at 60 miles an hour. Hmm. So if you take an OE wheel that weighs, with a tire on it, 60 pounds, and replace it with something that weighs 70 pounds, when you ask your brakes to stop the car at 80 miles an hour or 100 miles an hour, you're asking them to do a whole lot more work than they were designed for.
That's a tremendous difference.
Same thing would be true when you're talking about brake rotors. We want to make sure that the rotors that we add to the car weigh the same or less than the rotors that we take off the car. So in terms of unsprung weight, we want to pay a great deal of attention to what the OE components actually weigh, and then we want to pay attention to how much rotating mass we're adding. So I don't know if that answers his question. I hope it does.
Oh yeah.
If anything else, there's some good information in there that people can use as a rule of thumb for when they're starting to plan their project out.
Absolutely.
Number three?
Yep.
Okay. They also want to know if a supercharger is installed and changes the weight balance of the car, how much will the handling be affected?
It's another really good question. The G8 that we took to the track has a procharger which is hung on the front end of the engine, essentially the worst place we could put it. Because we pay so much attention to reliability when we do a car, we know that our cars, when we take them out to show them off, are going to get flogged and they get beat on. So we want to make sure that they last. We also put in a rather large oil cooler, transmission cooler, power steering cooler, and that's all hung in front of the radiator. So we've added a bit more than 100 pounds to the front end of the car. That absolutely adversely affected the front to rear weight balance of the vehicle. According to General Motors and most of the magazines, that G8 arrives at 5149, and my car was all the way up to 53 in the front.
Ouch.
So it pushed that balance 2 percentage points. Now, one of the things we did do is we installed the lighter weight exhaust, so we lightened the rear and we raised the weight in the front, and that caused a relatively significant shift. Having said that, there are easy ways to compensate for that. Now, on my car, I've gone with an optional front coil that is an 8-kilogram coil as opposed to a 7-kilogram coil. So, in other words, it's roughly 58 pounds higher in rate than our standard coil would be on a G8. For those that are doing Camaros, our base rate for that coilover kit is going to be an 8-kilogram coil up front. So we may be okay with that. We're going to have to get some on the road, and it will be a modest cost to the consumer to be able to move from a 7 kg to an 8 kg or 9 kg coil, and that's how we'll balance that out.
Well, that's good news because I'm actually planning on going the supercharger route, and of course I've got the Extreme XA kit on order with you folks. So that was good. That would kind of applies to me as well.
Oh, yeah.
So
you and me both, man. we're going to be running that same Pro Charger, but I bet you mine has more polished parts than yours.
Wow.
Wow.
Are you trying to call me out, Pete?
Throw down the gauntlet, man.
Oh, boy.
You have to lean on the guys over at Pro Charger. Oh, tell him he thinks he's getting shinier parts than you are.
You have to call Ken Jones.
It's on, bitch. Good stuff. That only makes it fun. Here's another question from the same gentleman. He wanted to know how hard will this be for the average person to install, and again, I'm going to assume he's talking about the Extreme XA kit.
Really, really good question. We've had some bad weather over here on the west side of the state. Not bad, just rainy. I had Mike White over here, and we spent almost 2 weeks together doing some R&D work and other associated Petters business. One of the things we wanted to do was to do an XA coilover install on my driveway. I mean, anybody can do it in the shop and do a video in the shop. We want to do an XA coilover install video right on the driveway using the typical home garage guy's toolbox.
Perfect.
So hopefully this coming week we'll have some good weather. Mike won't be here. I'm going to have to do it myself. You know, maybe I can get some good directions from Mike and he'll help me through this. But I've got William Witt from Witt Buick who's agreed to be the cameraman. And we are going to do a DIY video to show people exactly how difficult or not it is to do this. I would tell you that if you can change shock absorbers on a car, if you've ever removed a strut from a vehicle, you should be able to do this job.
Well, that sounds very promising, and do-it-yourself video is going to be awesome.
Yeah, and as soon as you release that, you got to post it on the board there people know.
Okay, we got another question here from the same person, John H. When changing the ride height, do you need to have the car on four jack stands to keep the car level, or can you just raise one side of the car at a time?
There's a good one.
You could raise one side of the car at a time. As long as we've taken the load off the unit, you just have to remember that we're talking about an aluminum adjusting collar, so the weight of the vehicle always has to be off the wheel that we're adjusting height on. And as long as you've got the one off, you're good to go. So absolutely, you can go around all four corners with a jack and do that on the driveway, no big deal. Now, before you adjust a second time, you want to drive the car up and down the driveway to take any odd camber set that was created when the car was lifted and set back down so you can accurately check height again.
Good stuff again. You're just full of good news here today, Pete.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you know, it's been that kind of couple of weeks. Business has been good, aside from Chrysler. Weather's generally been good. We've had some great fitments. One thing we didn't talk about that's been incredibly cool, we did an XA police car. This is a Chrysler Hemi down in Cass County, Indiana.
Were you in the back or the front?
The sheriff just took his car to an EVOC school. And for some reason, everybody was shocked to find out that he had the baddest ass police car probably in the United States right now. He ran circles around people.
That's awesome.
It's been a good couple of weeks.
Well, listen, we really want to thank you for giving everybody the opportunity to ask these questions. And some of these are burning questions, even from me. I really wanted to know, and we're thankful that you got the knowledge and the experience behind this. If anybody out there, you know, our listeners, wants to get in touch with you, we'll just suggest that they post on the board, because you and Mike from Petters there, he's known as DMS on the message board, are always around to kind of see what questions people have and answer them for them. Anything you want to leave us with before we sign off here?
Absolutely. One thing I should say is I want to apologize for spending so much less time on the board probably over the last 6 weeks. We've been in a huge R&D mode with an awful lot of product moving through that system, and it's just taken up a ton of my time. And so anybody that's been waiting on a PM or an email from me, I beg your forgiveness. We'll get to them in the next few weeks.
Good deal. Good deal. How's the weather been on that side of the state for you there, Pete? I know here it's starting to get warm, but it's been raining a lot, too.
Too much rain.
Too much rain, huh?
It spoils my driving days. Too much rain.
Oh, jeez, I know.
Well, I think that's going to do it for now. We really appreciate you letting us pick your brain here. And if you got any other information, you're always more than welcome to do this with us again.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So,
you guys are the first on my call list when I've got new Camaro information.
Cool. That's the best. Thank you so much. And I know on behalf of our members, they really appreciate it as well.
Yeah.
So, all right then. Well, until next time, Pete, thanks a lot. And anybody wants to visit what Petters has to offer and check out their offerings, it's PettersUSA.com. And there's I'm looking at it right now, and there's just a whole slew of stuff. And if the rest of your stuff is as good as what you're offering for the Camaro, well, you know what? That's just great.
Yeah, definitely.
So, thanks. Kristen, thanks,
Jason. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, buddy. And we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Pete.
Cheers.
Well, good old Pete. Loves to talk.
Hey, so do I. So I can't fault him.
But when he talks, people listen because
a-hole.
Well, we got a great response last time we had him here in the studio.
Definitely one of our best podcasts.
Yeah, and people were saying we need more tech stuff like that. So there you go. There's Pete again.
Yep, and we're going to continue doing this for as long as we can because we love giving out tech information. God, that's great news from him.
Yeah,
that's just great. You know, with him being able to work on the three SEMA cars and 12 inches on the rear, man. That sounded suggestive. 12-inch wide wheels on the back of the Camaro.
Yes.
How's that?
Yeah.
Good stuff. I mean, man, I think this is probably one of the coolest sets of episodes we've had. First, John Fitzpatrick back in the studio, Camaro marketing manager, and then right into Pete. Boy, good stuff. So, you know, always keep your questions coming. In fact, if you have a question for us or anything you'd like to relay to anybody else regarding the 2010 Camaro or Camaros in general, or you just want to talk about whatever, here's how.
To stay informed and in touch with the Camaro Z28.com crew, go to the message boards at CamaroZ28.com. If you have a question for the podcast, call the Camaro Z28.com voicemail hotline. The number is 586-486-3182. That's 586-486-3182.
You know, now's the part of the show where we actually do some emails and voicemails, but we're going to save those.
Yeah.
Because we've had a jam-packed schedule this week with our two guests, and so we're going to save them. We're going to cover them next week, and we'll go ahead and do that.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I was looking at iTunes.
Yeah?
And did you see what I saw?
I saw it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Isn't that the coolest thing?
Yeah, we're like top three. Let's take that back. We're the fourth podcast featured in their featured section for automotive.
Yeah. So if you're an iTunes user, definitely please vote.
Go ahead and rate us.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. And drop a feedback review if you get the time.
Yeah.
We'd appreciate it.
I don't think those ratings actually go by feedback because, you know, we've only got like 14 ratings in there, and we're above like Pink's and Speed Channel and all those, and they have like gazillions of them. So
Maybe it's just based on I don't know. It's probably some funky algorithm that maybe Jake Robb knows. He's a propeller head. So gosh, you know, we got to wrap this up. It's been a long two episodes,
yes,
man. Anything else from your end?
No, there's nothing on my end. You wanted to give a shout out this week.
Oh yeah, I can't believe it. Yeah. You guys, we have a new sponsor to the podcast and a new sponsor to CamaroZ28.com, CamaroCollection.com. And they've got some really, really cool authorized by General Motors Camaro stuff.
Hoodies?
Yeah, stuff, shirts and bags and hats and stuff. And we're going to start giving some stuff away. We're also going to be giving out coupon codes for those who don't win something free. They can always get a discount.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing that for the next several months.
I know. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, you know, we love giving stuff away, and we just got to figure out how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
But you know us. We'll figure it out. So, you know, definitely keep listening in the future for coupon codes, reviews, and giveaways. Freebies, as we're always giving stuff away for those who call in. So that's it. I think I'm done.
Let's go retire for the week. And
you got it.
We'll come right back at you next week.
We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.